Our reading this morning is from Acts 2, starting at verse 1, and it's from the New King James Version of our Bible. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language, what we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mockingly said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jim. Have you ever known heaven open to you? We're going to start off actually by looking at a couple of passages, short passages in Joel, which is quoted, of course, in Acts 2, because Peter said, "This is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel." This is what's happened. This is an answer to what is happening in the New Testament, a promise that was in the Old Testament by one of the minor prophets. Now, of course, they were not minors in that sense. It's just because of the size of the book that they call minor prophets, but they existed somewhere around about 400 years before Jesus even came. And here we have Joel, the book of Joel, which addresses lots of things, but it's talking really about the destitution of the people of God, what they had let themselves become, what God had allowed them to become. And here was this people, and basically there was two things that were described, mainly the ravaging of the locusts and the dryness of the lands. And both of these things were going to be addressed by the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? And when we read about these, of course, this is reflecting on what was happening to the nation of Israel. But of course, under the new covenant, we are all the nation of Israel. We're all God's people. And here we see, just right at the beginning of Joel, I'm only going to look at the locusts because I like locusts. Don't you like locusts? Not really, but here we go. It says in Joel in chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, well, what the chewing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. I don't know if you've ever seen a plague of locusts. I never have, thank goodness. But I believe that they can plague, the plague can be up to about 400 square miles or even 450 square miles big. All these locusts come swarming in. They're like big grasshoppers. And about about a third of the size of Somerset, I believe. So there you go, a bit of useless information for you. All these swarms of locusts came and ravaged the land. But what the chewing locusts had left, just a few bits here and there, it seems, the swarming locusts have eaten. Another load of locusts, but this time the swarming ones. And then another lot of locusts come. It says what the swarming locusts have left, the crawling locusts have eaten. Oh my goodness. Put the netting up. And what the crawling locusts left, the consuming locust has eaten. Four different types of locusts. And there was nothing left. Or was there? There were still the roots, of course. These were everything above ground was destroyed. And this is what people's lives were like. This is what the people of God was like in the eyes of God. All the fruitfulness that God had given them somehow had been chewed away and gnawed at. Four lots from all sides. Do you know, some of our lives can be like that. As we go through life, we have all these ideals when we're growing up, or maybe we've lost them even at that point. But as we're growing up, we think, oh, career and marriage and children and a nice big house and a car and a this and a that and the other, holidays where we want, and goodness only knows what. But you know something? Life comes along. And it says, and puts the boot in. The locusts are coming. No, this is going to happen to you. That's going to happen to you. And we find as we go through our lives that our lives are not a shadow of what we once thought they were going to be. We've been ravaged by the locusts. Spiritually, maybe mentally, maybe broken. Maybe we've been in bad family situations. Maybe we've been in abusive situations. Maybe we still are. Maybe we've been in situations where finances have wrecked us. Maybe we've been in situations where sickness has come. Maybe. There's all sorts of things of life that just come, aren't there? And bash us, and smash us, and devour us. But it is not God's heart that you and I should remain like that. Even later on in Joel, just over the page, it says here, this is part of the promise of God, for verse 25, for those who wanted to follow it sometime, chapter 2, it says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. How about that? God says, I will restore to you all the things that have happened in your life that have smashed you up, that have broken you, that have devoured you. I'm going to restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, and the crawling locust, and the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. God, dearie me, these are big grasshoppers, these are. But some of us, life has just attacked us like these locusts, haven't they? And then it says later on in Joel, it says lots of things in Joel, but we don't have time to go through it all, but it says here, we read it, didn't we? I'm going back to read it from Acts. Romans. So I should have put a thing in my Bible, shouldn't I? Here we go. And Peter got up and he said, Peter, the man who was timid, that ran away from everything, that didn't really want any conflict, even though he said he was prepared to die for Jesus. As soon as people came up to him and said, "You were seen with him, weren't you?" "Oh, no, not me. No, no, no." He was timid, and he had his limits, his human limits. But when this happened, this great day of Pentecost, Peter got up, and he stood up, and he raised his voice. No messing, not a quiet, timid voice anymore, and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, because it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." You know, sometimes I have it more of a job believing what the mockers say. Have you? I mean, if I went and found down in Tesco's a bottle of French wine and I drink it to the bottom, I'll feel fairly tipsy, I guess. But I wouldn't be able to speak French. Or maybe a German wine and I drunk it to the bottom, I wouldn't be able to speak German. But they were saying, that's what has happened. Impossible. How silly is that, eh? But no, what they were witnessing was something that God was doing. And Peter said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." How wonderful is that? God is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Oops, excuse me. It's not wine, honestly. On all flesh. This is very interesting because God doesn't change the way he does things. And the last time the Spirit was poured out on the whole earth was during creation in Genesis. Isn't it amazing? And what God did is he had his Spirit hovering over the face of the deep all around the world. And he spoke his word through the Spirit and things were created. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. And there was. Instantly. Wow, isn't that amazing? But this is different. Because God no longer needed to recreate the world, but God needed to do a recreating work in humanity. Because that's what had gone wrong. In all flesh, he poured out his spirit upon all flesh, not on the giraffes and the elephants and the crocodiles or even the locusts. Even the things that come and attack you. He didn't do that. No, he poured out his spirit upon all humanity. So that even though a guy like NASA could cry out to the Lord in that cave, in amongst that blizzard of bullets, and God could save him there. Isn't that wonderful? I was at a camp in North India, with Alan again, funnily enough, and Debbie. Yeah. And this was many years ago. It was in the Himalayas, and the young people came to this church camp, and the young people, they had to fast and pray for a week before they came. Young people weren't even fully the Lord's, but that's what they had to do, because it was a prerequisite of coming to the camp. Isn't that amazing? And they came along to this camp. And I remember it was up in the Himalayas and it was a beautiful area called the Satal Ashram, and it overlooked this lake which was like a horseshoe around the bottom, and there was a church right on top of this mound, and that's where we held our meetings. And we held our meetings one night, and it was a wonderful time, and God really moved amongst those young people. And they went back to their lodgings. And all night we heard them crying out to the Lord, didn't we? All night. Those young people, they would not let go until God had met them. They had heard something from heaven, and they would not let go until God had met them. It was a transformed camp the next morning, wasn't it? You wouldn't believe it. These young people, they didn't want to stop. They wanted to worship all day and all night. Because they had seen something of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. But do you know something? This isn't just for the Pentecostals. Or something for the Baptists. Or something for the religious or the church of today. But this is something for the whole of humanity. It is available to everyone who will cry out, really cry out, before God. I've cried out to him many times. And this isn't something that just happens once at the beginning of your Christian life. Many times, sometimes we've just got to cry out to God. Put everything out there. Oh. I cried out for several years before I found him like this. And I remember in 37 East John Walk in 1979, up there in the attic room, which was my bedroom, crying out to God and said, I've tried everything. I've done everything you've told me to do, and I'm still as dead as a dodo. I know it. Lord, you've got to do something in me. You've got to change me. You've got to come and show me heaven. I know it's possible because I've seen so many who others have got it. And he came that night to me at the side of my bed as a 19-year-old. Wow. I've been convinced. Because one of the things that comes when God comes to you like that is that he tells you that he loves you. Really loves you. I went to Bible college in 1984, and it was Christmas of 1984 when I first set my eyes on Ruth. As you do. And I don't think it was love at first sight on my part anyway, particularly, because I was just enjoying being at a Bible college situation. But we got into the next term, and a few people started saying, do you know, I think she likes you. Yeah, they did. A few people started nudging me and said, I think she likes you. And I said, oh, I'm not sure, you know, not surely not. You know, but and it kind of developed from there. But do you know something? We started going out, and to cut a very long story short, and I'll maybe tell you one day because it's a bit of fun. One day, she said to me, I love you. And I'll tell you what, that totally changed it. Instead of other people saying, I think she likes you, to hearing it from her to me, I love you. And you know, that's what this is like with God. We can tell people that Jesus loves them. We can write it on signs, and it's true. We can write it, I saw it the other day, on a wall as I passed Bristol. It said, Jesus loves you. I thought, how wonderful that is. Jesus does love you. It's true. But when God comes to me and says, I love you. Oh, that's so different. Everything's transformed because everything behind God, the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, everything that God is, the wonder of God, he comes and he says, changes everything. Everything. No one can ever come to us again and say, no, I'm not sure this is for you. You know, maybe you should try and join another church and get a bit excited there or something. I don't know. But do you know what I mean? When God comes to you, the relationship changes. It's not between you and what someone else has said about God, even what's written in here. But when God has come and expressed himself to you, directly, it changes everything. He wants to come and he wants to restore the years that the locusts have chewed away at your life. The bitternesses, the disappointments, the failures, the broken relationships, the poor health, the effects it's had on you. The negative stuff, the horrible things that have gone on at work, the losses you've had. God wants to restore to you something that is far above all of that. Something that will last not just now, but for eternity. Because those words, I love you, from Ruth to me, will disappear when we're both buried somewhere. In the graveyard somewhere. They will. But when God says, I love you, it's forever. It's through death itself. So what's happened here in Acts, my goodness, where do we start? He says, haven't you started already? when the day of Pentecost had fully come. And you know, it is fully here today. We haven't got to wait for it. We haven't got to be promised it by Joel again. The day of Pentecost is fully here today and now. You and I can cry out to God from the bottom of our hearts, and the day of Pentecost will fully come for you. I promise you in the name of Jesus. Promise you. Look at that. They were all with one accord in one place. That's a good thing to be. And what were they praying? Who knows what they were praying? I think they were probably praying the Lord's Prayer, because that's what he had taught them to pray. Because everything in the Lord's Prayer was fulfilled at Pentecost. We were able to start calling him Father. We were able to start knowing how what it was to forgive people with supernatural forgiveness. We were able to do so much more. We were able to taste the bread of life every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Every day. It was to become ours. I believe that's what they were praying there, but that's just preacher's license maybe. And suddenly, it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it says, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So this wasn't outside, this was in a house, like a mighty rushing wind. Were the windows open? I don't know. Was the roof off? I don't think so. Were the doors open? I doubt it. But this rushing mighty wind was something that they could all hear. It got their attention. It was a sound which was unusual for being in a house. God was coming in a new way to bring oxygen to their dead lives. It was a new way, a new thing was happening. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushy wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Don't you just love reading what the scripture said? It's of fire. There's nothing romantic about it. There's nothing that's been cooked up by it. That's just what happened. There seemed to be fire from heaven that came and touched each one of them, and it came down like a fork whip from one source down to many. And if you go to the to where Jesus or John the Baptist is talking about Jesus, he's talking about him coming with unquenchable fire to burn up the rubbish, but to bring alive that which is good. Came with fire, and one, it says, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that interesting? That the first thing that happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit is their language changed. The things that they said started changing. Yes, here they were speaking in other languages, but what were they speaking? They were speaking about the things of heaven, things of God. They were speaking about Jesus. They were speaking about life from above. They were speaking about the power of the cross. When Jesus came down onto the earth, it would have been wonderful if we could have all gone and had a church outing and met him, wouldn't it? You ever thought that? Wouldn't it be good just to sit there with Jesus like John did? Oh, I'd love to have done that. I would love to have done that. But you know something? We can do that. But we can't go there anymore because it was 2,000 years ago. And he's been to the cross and he's risen and he's ascended. But because of this great and glorious day of Pentecost, God has returned again to you and I. He's returned again. He's come back for us. Not just to the Jews, he's come back for you and me. He's come back for everybody who will cry out to him. Nobody is left out this time. Nobody's left out by the fact they couldn't get to Jerusalem. Nobody's left out by the fact that they had never even heard of Jesus. Nobody's left out. He's come to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Whether you're in the Himalayas in India, whether you're in a cave in Iraq, whether you're lying on the street outside Sainsbury's in Chard, he's come to all flesh. Why? Why? Because he loves you. That's why. For God gave his only begotten Son. Oh, because he loved us. He loved us. He loved us. Can you hear it? I love you. Wow. How precious this is. How wonderful it is that he didn't leave me out of it because I was born 2,000 years later. How wonderful it is that he came one day and said, I love you. And he took me to be his own. Not only me, but it seemed like only me at the time. And he's shaped my life ever since. Yes, there's been times when I've made mistakes. There's been times when I've gone off track a little bit or looked the wrong way. You know what it is. But he's always been there. He's the Father that's always there. The prodigal son we heard about, didn't we? And it was about the son. It wasn't about the lost. It was about the son who came back. I love you. I love you. Oh, listen to this. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I wonder what we would say when this first happened. Thanksgiving comes into mind. Oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't know it could ever happen to me. And there, dwelling in Jerusalem, there were devout men. There were all sorts of people. And very unkindly, we gave this passage to be read out, which was difficult to read some of it out, wasn't it? So thank you for that. But there we go. Look at all these people. God didn't want anyone to miss out. The Arabs as well, speaking in our own tongues, are wonderful works of God. Wow. What would you have spoken about? Well, let's get things together and go out and, you know, do a bit of outreach or something. No, they just spoke the wonderful works of God. The testimony. Oh, God's come and set me free. He's restored the years that the locusts have eaten. He's taken away that hurt out of my heart when I thought it was there forever. He's taken away those disappointments. He's given me a brand new start. He's made me into a new creation, as Paul says. Just like when God spoke through at the beginning of time on this earth, through the Spirit, and he brought about creation. It's just the same. He poured out at Pentecost to make us into a new creation. To make us into a new man and a new woman. To make us into those that will come one day and gather at his throne. In confidence. No doubt. In confidence. Oh, so Peter says, it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, whoops, excuse me, let's get some new glasses that stay on, shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. I'm not sure when you become from young to old and start dreaming dreams. But hey, there we go. But you're going to see things you could never see before. Somehow you're going to see things from another time and space. You're going to see things from heaven. You're going to see things from the kingdom of God that you could not see before. Isn't that wonderful? Because we're going to live there. It's more real, you know, than this earth. Well, what do you mean? You know, I can feel it in my hands. I can feel the lectern. I can feel the chairs are getting a bit hard now. Will you stop preaching that and go home? You know, this earth seems to be the more real thing to us. But no, the more real thing is the kingdom of God, from where all things came. All things came. That is what's real. And you and I, as a people of God, we start learning about the kingdom of God. We start learning about how it works. We start learning from all the pictures in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant about what God wanted to do in the New Covenant and the New Testament. We start learning things like when we take the bread and the wine, that we're no longer sprinkling something and having a feast and sprinkling the blood of cattle on things, but we're taking it in because God comes to live within us by His Spirit. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He doesn't walk beside you anymore. He's not trying to coax you down a particular street or something like that. What He does is He lives within you. And when He lives within you, you will find what it says in Ezekiel chapter 36. It says that I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You will find the law of God written on your hearts. You'll start knowing what to do. You'll start knowing how to live. And it's not like this world thinks you should live. It's not. And it's not like the Ten Commandments, which are very unportable. You can't carry them around and use them as a reference point, can you, the Ten Commandments, because they're on tablets of stone. But He puts something which you can carry around because He writes it in your heart. Lord, I know that this would please You. And Lord, I know that this would not please You. Lord, I know that that is not a way I should go. Lord, I know that this is the way I should go. And somehow, you know it in your heart. Because the Spirit of God is there. And it says later on in that same chapter that its people will point to the people of God and say, it's like they're back in the Garden of Eden. That's what it says later on in that chapter. It's like it was back in the beginning. God is restoring something. This relationship that God had with man, He wants to fully restore it in you and I today. And to everyone who would cry out to Him. Oh, look, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I'm going to show wonders in heaven above and show signs in the earth beneath. Wow. And then jumping right down to the bottom, it says, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Excuse me. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. We cannot make Christians. We can only tell people to call upon the name of the Lord. We will never make Christians. If we think we've persuaded someone to become a Christian, what happens when they leave your influence? They'll just go back again. Unless they've responded to the Lord, and then He will care for them and look after them. You know, Jesus is wonderful. He's not come to do something temporary, come to sprinkle a blessing upon us that they call Pentecost, a spray of ointment or something, or this or that, Lord, come upon me by Your Spirit. When He rises up with His Spirit, He rises up from within our hearts because that's where He is. And you will find the risings of God as you wait with Him and meditate upon Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish there. But He loves you. Have you ever heard Him say that to you deep down? I love you. It's going to be all right. I know all about your past. I know all about the things you're going through now. I do. And I love you. I love you with a love that will not let you go. So come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. I've got my Pentecost moment for you. Hallelujah. We're going to sing again. The Comforter has come. Lord, we thank You, Lord, this morning. That the Comforter has come. Lord, it's not just something we sing about. Lord, we know the reality of it in our lives. Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to convey your love, Lord, to those around about us, Lord, this week, Lord, to be able to, Lord, show them something and point them the way, Lord, to seeing, Lord, a restoration in their lives. Lord, something, Lord, that you want to do, Lord, in each life is recreate us, Lord, back into your image and your likeness. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us all, Lord. Let not your word, Lord, drop by the wayside, Lord, but may we all just ponder these things in our hearts this week, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time together, for one another, for the glory of the resurrection, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Should we just say the grace together? I've changed one of the words just because I like changing words. And the last line I put, instead of be with us evermore, is with us evermore, because it's true. He is with us. We don't wish it to be, but we know that he is. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.